In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on January 28th, 2016. This is the official podcast for whom the cowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and I'm joined by another writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm just fine. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good.
That's fantastic. This is special episode number 41.
Why is this one special?
I don't know.
Is it because we're introducing a new segment?
That's true. We are introducing a new segment. We will, unless you want to spoil it now, we'll wait for until the end.
We can. It's replacing, for at least this show, the final thoughts segment.
For at least this one episode. Yeah. It technically is the final thoughts segment. But under another name.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about some stuff. Mississippi State lost 84-74 against South Carolina in the men's basketball on Tuesday. And also, the women's basketball team is playing a game today, as you listen, tomorrow as we record, against the Tennessee Volunteers. And we're going to talk about that. And also, Mississippi State men's basketball plays the game in Columbia, Missouri against Missouri. If you had to guessed by that state name.
M-I-Z-Z-U. They're going from one Columbia to another.
Indeed. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Hashtag Columbia. Hashtag road trip. Hashtag hash browns.
Hashtag the hash slinging slasher.
Gosh.
Only people who watch SpongeBob will understand that reference.
Just continue.
We're doing things. But we will start with Mississippi State's 84-74 loss to South Carolina on Tuesday. First, Ethan, I want to address something about this game. And it's actually not necessarily about the game as it is about a prediction that I made.
I said it'd be somewhere between that range as well.
Oh, great. Good for you.
So
I am the host of this
show.
You
put the no in Nostradamus. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I said 83-71 and the final score was 84-74, so you're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you for saying that.
I'm just scrolling through Twitter right now.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But this was a game for Mississippi State that... trying to get away from your ignoring me. But this is a game for Mississippi State where pretty much almost everything went well, in a way. We shot the ball fairly well, 38% from the field. We shot well from three-point range, 45.8%. Shot well from the free throw line, 74%. This game, for the most part, was evenly matched, except for one little stat, and that was... We had a total of 26 rebounds in this one, and South Carolina had a total of 51 rebounds in this one, which led which this is hard to believe looking at this, but it says that South Carolina only had one more second chance point than we did. But anyways, I'll pretend that's irrelevant. I can't speak as I normally can't do. But anyways, South Carolina did out-rebound us by 23, and I've said we've both said before, I'm sure at some point every single Mississippi State basketball fan in the entire world has said at one point, that the biggest problem for this team in terms of roster-wise is our lack of depth down low. I don't think that has been more evident than it was on Tuesday, knowing that they out-rebounded us by 23. If we would have been able to cut down that rebound margin by about 8, we may have won this game. We may have gotten a couple more shots if we would have gotten some rebounds. But unfortunately for us, we have little to no depth down low, and South Carolina was able to take advantage of that in the highest degree.
Yeah, the Gamecocks, they really took Gavin Ware out of the game, just removed him from the formula, pretty much. He didn't seem to be a factor. The biggest factors in this game, IJ Reddy, you had Malik Newman coming on late again. Just all in all, Gavin Ware was not much of a factor. And to completely take him out of a game, nobody's really been able to do that this year. So seeing that done really is impressive and says a lot about South Carolina as a team. I'm trying to pull up the stats here. Gavin Ware had 6 points,
yeah,
and 4 fouls.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 1 of 6 from the field.
Gavin Ware had
4 of 6 from free throw.
In the first half, Gavin Ware had 0 points and took 1 shot.
Yeah. It's really, you know, they almost needed to have Johnny Sapardo, Eric Holman, and Travis Daniels all on the floor at the same time with Gavin Ware to really have a shot at out-rebounding South Carolina.
Yeah.
Just because, South Carolina's size, then you had Michael Carrera, their forward, have a career game. He was unstoppable.
Put up 34 points.
15 rebounds, 34 points, only 2 fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But,
so it just...
Yeah.
Ridiculous game from Carrera. Size-wise, they just... Who was it? University of Missouri, Kansas City, or something like that?
Yes, UMKC.
We can go all the way back through the schedule that these just bigger teams tend to beat us. When you're getting 20-point outputs from IJ Reddy, 19 points from Quindary Weatherspoon, 15 from Malik Newman, 10 from Craig Sword, you expect to win games where you see those point totals. So just being able to take Gavin Ware away, that was the difference here. That and injuries to Sword and Reddy slowed down the pace of the game, took them out of it for periods of time. So those were the biggest things that I noticed, that, if you can get the injuries out of the game, if you can get Gavin Ware more active, Mississippi State probably wins that game.
Another thing, in the first half, Mississippi State, it was a 44-34 halftime deficit for Mississippi State at halftime. I don't know why, but anyways, in that first half, we see, as I mentioned earlier, Gavin Ware take 1 shot, had 0 points, and another key contributor to this team that we've pretty much assumed and come to the conclusion that if he plays well, we're going to win. Malik Newman in that first half took 2 shots.
Yeah.
If Malik Newman would have been able... And Malik Newman ultimately came out in the second half, got 12 points. All of his made shots, I believe that was the exact same thing as the Ole Miss game, were from behind the arc.
Yep.
Which could be... I'm not sure if that we can say that as a problem
We need the 3-pointer range. But when he's 0 of 5 from within the arc, there's just that is an absurd shooting percentage to be shooting 5 of 8 from behind the arc, but no, 0 of 8 or 0 of 5 here from within. That it just it's mind-boggling here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't really see that.
But in that first half, had Malik Newman scored, I don't know, 8 points, that would be a 5-point deficit going into halftime, and maybe a little bit more momentum going into that second half for Mississippi State. Once again, which is similar to every single SEC game we've played and every single SEC loss we've played for sure, this is a game where Mississippi State fell behind, and we ultimately were able to battle back, and they just spread the point deficit out. In the end, they were able to just run away with it. In addition to being out-rebounded by 23, foul trouble, once again with this man defense, was a major concern for Mississippi State. Both Malik Newman and Craig Sword fouling out. We committed 32 fouls. They didn't shoot too spectacularly from the free throw line. 27 for 41 for 65.9%, but still, that's 41 free throws and 27 points right there, based off of simply free throws.
Yeah, some of those free throws came at the end of the game during the foul to try to get the ball back, and you know, I don't know how many of those free throws and points came then, but several of them did. So that's just something worth noting, I guess. A stat that's interesting to me here is that Craig Sword had 4 blocks.
Yeah.
Mississippi State as a whole had 12 blocks. We actually, you know, South Carolina had 7. We actually outblocked a team. We had more steals than them. So defense is starting to play better. But yeah, how often do you see a guy have 4 blocks in a game where he's not even a center or a forward?
It's
got to be rare.
But as you mentioned earlier, this was definitely the performance of the year from IJ Reddy, getting 20 points. Quindary Weatherspoon with another really good performance, 19 points from 7 of 17 shooting, 2 for 6 from 3, 3 for 3 from the free throw line. And we both are both Ethan and I are both agreeing that he will probably go pro after next season. And I think that he will definitely, I don't think he'll go, because I don't think he'll get drafted after this year, but I think he would probably get some consideration if he can be able to keep up the level of play at which he is right now. Because if he can just continue what he's done in the Ole Miss game and now the South Carolina game, the sky's the limit for Quindary Weatherspoon in terms of going into next year. Also, one more stat that I'm just now taking a look at, sort of beating a dead horse here with the depth down low, but South Carolina did outscore us in points in the paint, 36-18, doubled us there. So,
yeah.
If that's worth anything.
That's something that we've talked a little bit about on Twitter. I mentioned it a bit last night that next year, you know, you've said we're bringing in 2 centers that are both 6'10", and they're both highly sought after guys.
Both 4 stars, Abdul Addo and Schneider Harrard.
Yeah. Getting them down low will allow Eric Holman to play more of a stretch four forward. Because he's certainly, while he is very tall, he's very lanky. He does not have a lot of weight on his frame. And he also has a 3-point shot. So if you can spread the ball out a little bit better, that helps alleviate some of the depth down low, because you've got to expect that these freshmen coming in aren't going to be lights out right away. I'm really interested in seeing how Eric Holman does when he's healthy next year. So that Eric Holman and Quindary Weatherspoon are really the 2 pieces to watch for next year's team.
Excuse me. Definitely. I mean, we both mentioned after the game on Tuesday that we both believe going into next year, this will be Quindary Weatherspoon's team. knowing that he will be, what, the tied for second to most experienced player on the team? Or at least starter?
You've got, okay, so starters, we're just going to predict that, you know, the freshmen aren't going to beat out the guys that are currently there.
So, IJ Reddy.
With IJ Reddy running the point. Quindary Weatherspoon shooting guard.
I think Kegler gets time immediately.
What position is he?
Small forward.
Yeah, well, we don't have a small forward on the roster.
Yeah, Mario Kegler is probably the highest sought-after recruit that's coming in the 2016 class. And people say that if there is, I don't think he will be, and people don't think he will be, but if there is one possibility of a one-and-done in this upcoming recruiting class, it would be Mario Kegler.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's done in 2 years, honestly. Just he's got a lot of talent to him, and small forwards are really, really important in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. Really sought after position. So we're going to assume that he's a starter. Yeah, Eric Coleman, and then one of your new 6'10 four-star centers coming in.
And I think we both agree that they will both share minutes at the five. Simply because I don't think there is, out of those two, I don't think there is one that is leaps and bounds better that would get a majority of the playing time. I think this will probably just be either just sharing minutes throughout the entire season, or someone will be, or there will be a decision made as the season goes on about who would get a majority of the playing time between those two.
But one thing that, you know, we've mentioned Holman going into next year. I mentioned that. We mentioned Quindary Weatherspoon going into next year. Something that's interesting to me is IJ Reddy in the past three games has had two 20-point games.
Mm-hmm.
He had seven assists in this game, four rebounds, three steals. So if you go through the past three games, he scored 47 points, has had four steals, nine assists, eight rebounds. No, those stats are not complete because I skipped that game. 11 rebounds and then 14 assists in the past three games.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues this development, that'll be huge for next year. Because then he's got a lot of experience, hasn't won a lot, but surrounding him with a lot of talent could allow him to be better ball handler, better distributor. He doesn't have to take every shot. And I think right now in his mind that he has to take a lot of shots. He took a lot of shots against Florida that some were criticized. And this game against South Carolina, he only took eight total shots, still got 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, seeing this development out of IJ Reddy will be huge going into next year. So that's just something to keep up with.
And also mentioning IJ Reddy, I ultimately think that IJ Reddy it should be obvious that he'll be the starter and he'll get a majority of the playing time. But I do believe that Lamar Peters coming in from Landry Walker High School in New Orleans will get some playing time. I believe I've seen on some, on a tweet earlier that in his last high school game he played, he hit 12 threes. So he is obviously a good shooter. He is obviously going to be the future of Mississippi State basketball in terms of the point guard position and replacing IJ Reddy after next year. But he should be getting some playing time, a good amount of playing time, not a majority over IJ Reddy, but a good amount of playing time at the point next year as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if IJ Reddy gets somewhere around, you know, 28 to 30 minutes a game next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's roughly what he's doing this year. I don't have an average, but I'm just looking at the minute totals for his season. You know, highest minute total would be 35, and that was in the first game against Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Lowest has been 24 against Ole Miss, and that's a game where Malik Newman just kind of took over, so there was, you know, no need to get IJ on the floor as much. But I just wouldn't be surprised that, you know, he gets 28 minutes. He doesn't have to take a lot of shots, isn't forced into bad shots. And I think he'll have a great senior year.
I certainly hope so.
You know, projecting. You know, there's no way to know. We aren't NBA scouts.
Nah.
By any means.
No.
But we try to pay attention, and just looking statistically, I think he's set up to have a good senior year.
So unless you want to add anything else from the South Carolina game, that'll pretty much wrap that up.
I mean, we got off the South Carolina game about 5 minutes ago, probably.
So, 10 minutes ago, maybe. Do you want to continue? Oh, I'm sorry. So,
I rambled.
Do you want to continue?
Still interrupting you.
I want to.
So, do speak. You want to?
Okay. Missouri. We're playing Missouri.
Yes.
Ethan, update on the Missouri Tigers. Right now they're losing to Kentucky 39-14 with 5 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, Missouri, coming out of the Big 12, you know, basketball conference, should be a basketball school.
You know, Frank,
I thought they had some basketball history.
Yeah, you know, Frank Haith was there. They were a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, lost in the first round. Then they lost. I think they went to the second round the next year. Then they went to the NIT. Then Frank Haith got up and bolted for Tulsa. They hired Kim Anderson, who I believe is a Division III head coach at some school in Missouri. Let me make sure I get which school. He was the head basketball coach at the Division II school, Central Missouri, where he won the national championship in 2013-14 and went to Missouri. And
not Southeast Missouri?
Not Southeast Missouri, Central Missouri. you are thinking of
our
Dickie
good Frederick Ray.
And before him, our good friend, brother of Houston, Dickie Nutt.
Oh, no. No.
I had to. And the fact that Houston Nutt's parents named him that makes it all the more better.
Oh, that's I'm such a middle school kid right now, but that is such a name.
Dickie Nutt.
Oh, man. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say Dickie Nutt at random times in the middle of while I'm speaking or you're speaking for the remainder of the show. Okay? So, be prepared.
Go for it.
But anyways, in 2013-14, Missouri went 23-12, made it to the NIT in Frank Haith's final year, got up and bolted for Tulsa. Kim Anderson hired, and they went from 23-12 to 9-23. And now Missouri is currently 8-11 on the year, going to lose to Kentucky tonight as we record, going to drop to 8-12. And also, the reason why Frank Haith got up and bolted to Tulsa is because there were some good old recruiting violations slapped onto the Tigers.
What sounds very similar to?
What does it sound very similar to?
The end of the Stansberry era.
Except we didn't have any recruiting violations.
I mean,
and Stansberry didn't
we might
get
as
up
well
and bolt
have
for a...
With you know, just, would you rather have recruiting violations or Renardo Sidney?
Recruiting violations.
They are, you know, neck and neck with how terrible they are to a program.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a hard choice picking between Renardo Sidney and recruiting violations just because of the gravity and how much weight they hold, not pun intended there, but with how much devastation they can cause to... Renardo Sidney was a very big man. He never slimmed down for basketball. He should have played football. How big was he in his senior year? Do you remember?
No, I'll check that for you.
I'm looking it up now. 6'10", 280 is what comes up when you Google his name.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that's a very generous 280.
Look at him as a high, I guess that's a high school senior, and then his time in a Mississippi State uniform.
He was a very big center.
And also the first thing that pops up on Google when you look at Bernardo Sidney's name is the headline, Bernardo Sidney looking for one last chance.
The Boston Globe.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how that's working out for him. It's been a year since that was
published. You know, wish the best for him. I don't want to say I'm rooting against him because, he deserves a chance to play somewhere. He's got a lot of talent. He just never panned out.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he's playing in China somewhere, making money, at least he's providing for his family.
There you go. Ethan looking out on the positive side of things.
The very little positive side, but... I'm never one to root against someone unless Ole Miss, NBADraft.net has him at 6'10", 300. And again, I think that's a very generous weight of 300.
But anyways, Missouri, so currently on the year, I'm going to try to get Missouri's stats up here, or at least their schedule first, because I'm just going to go through their schedule briefly. Their schedule. They're currently 8-11 on the year, 8-12, including the loss to Kentucky coming up. Their losses are to Xavier, Kansas State, Northwestern, Arizona, Illinois, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Kentucky.
You skipped North Carolina State.
Oh, did I? You know what? Yeah. I may have said some games. I skipped a lot of teams because I was looking at the gray thinking that was the only... Okay, let me repeat. They've lost to Xavier, Kansas State, Northwestern, Arizona, NC State, Illinois, Georgia, Arkansas, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. I finished it before you did.
I don't care.
It's my show. I say
things. Prediction time!
We didn't look at the stats? Don't want to look at the stats?
There's no need to look at the stats. This team is awful.
Can we just laugh at them?
Their leading scorer is scoring 11.5 points per game.
Oh my. What's his name?
Kevin Puryear? He's a forward.
How do you say that?
Puryear? I don't know. It's spelled Puryear.
I don't know what that is.
Perrier?
Sounds
whatever.
Like Perrier. Carbonated beverage. Why does his last name sound like a carbonated beverage?
I don't know.
Anyways. Missouri, their stats are actually kind of decent, with the exception of points per game, because they're averaging 67.8 points per game, which isn't good. But they are shooting 42.6% from the field, if that's anything.
They're a not good team that'll probably shoot a couple of good three-pointers on us, just because everybody shoots good three-pointers on us.
Yeah.
But prediction time.
Yeah.
Score prediction.
I'm going to say... Mississippi State wins this 78-71.
Yeah. I think State wins it by 10. Let's just go 81-71.
Okay. That was
just because I don't believe that. If we lose to Missouri, I'm probably going to punch a window. Just because Missouri is a garbage team and this Mississippi State team is improving. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for us to lose to Missouri.
Yeah, I agree. Missouri
You'll punch a window too?
No.
Oh.
I would just turn off the TV, scream internally, and stare at a countdown clock that's on my phone that's counting down until Mississippi State's baseball season.
Fair enough.
So, let's talk about women's basketball. The Bulldogs play... Tennessee, always a good women's basketball team. Tennessee having a bit of a down year in terms of Tennessee standards, 12-7 right now on the year, with losses to Texas, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Florida, Arkansas, Notre Dame, and Kentucky. And with that being said, Texas is a very...
There's some good teams in there.
I know. Texas is a very quality team. Stanford is a very quality team. Florida is a very quality team. Arkansas is a not so quality. They lost to Arkansas.
Do you mean very high quality team?
Did I say low quality?
You're saying very quality.
I meant very high quality.
Very quality.
They are a very quality team.
Something about that sounds wrong.
I don't know. But they lost to Arkansas, and that is the worst loss on the schedule. But other than that, yeah. I don't know about Virginia Tech, but other than that, their losses are pretty very quality. Hey, Ethan. Dickie Nutt.
That's a quality name.
It's very quality. Ethan, this needs to be in. Okay.
If this game were at Tennessee, coming off a 2-game losing stretch, I would feel a little more concerned for the women's basketball team. But it's in the hump. You're likely going to get 7,000, 8,000 fans there. There's going to be inflatables for students to go play in.
Are you going
to
go play in the inflatables?
I don't know yet.
You should. Periscope it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Periscope being on the inflatables.
Okay. Anyway, I expect a good crowd. Tennessee's struggling here and there. So on the road, on the road for them, I would expect them to lose. Mississippi State to bounce back, get a win before heading on a road trip to Arkansas and LSU.
Now, I will say this about Tennessee, looking simply at their stats, that they are a very quality defensive team. By the way, that needs to be a new slogan for our show. For whom the podcast is, very quality.
A very quality show?
No, simply very quality. Just listen to this. It has a nice ring to it. For whom the podcast is, very quality. I like it.
We need to get Dickie Nutt as a guest on the show.
Should I? I'll text you what I was about to say, because the sexual innuendos everywhere with what I was about to say, but I won't say it.
How old is Dickie Nutt?
I don't know how old Dickie Nutt is.
He's 56.
Dickie Nutt is 56, and he looks just like Houston Nutt. It's hilarious. Look at him.
He does.
Look at the differences between Houston and Dickie.
Dickie is a little slimmer in the face. His head's a little bit taller. But they are Dickie Albert Nutt.
Gosh. Ethan, what you just said.
No.
Dickie is a bit slimmer in the face, and something about a head.
I said his head's a little bit taller. Oh man, this show. This is going all sorts of places. Let's get back to the basketball talk.
Yeah. Tennessee. Tennessee's women's basketball team, not coached by Dickie Nutt, is a very good defensive team, giving up 58.6 points per game, scoring 66 points per game, and giving up a 38.1% field goal percentage. So they outscore their opponents by an average of 7.4 points. A very good defensive team, and Mississippi State, not usually a very great offensive team, but they do. But Mississippi State does have its moments. But long story
short... Hasn't been a great offensive team since early in the season.
Yeah. But... long story short is that this will be, in my opinion at least, if my opinion matters at all, it'll be a low-scoring game that it'll be exciting and fun to watch.
It'll probably be a lot like the Tennessee-Kentucky game.
That was a 64-63 Wildcat victory.
Yeah, it'll probably be something like that.
So yeah,
I don't expect it any higher scoring. That margin, a 1-point win, would not surprise me.
So Ethan, do you have a prediction?
64-63. Let's go with that. Mississippi State wins.
I'm not. You know, as much I kind of feel like Mississippi State's going to win, but I have become so emotionally, and I've become a good bit emotionally invested into the women's basketball team that my superstitious ways are coming into here. So I'm going to say Tennessee wins it 65-62.
Okay.
There we go. So yeah, that's a good show. We're about to have some questions.
We have several questions from Corbin, right?
Corbin.
Thanks, Corbin.
Corbin. Yeah. He has some fun. He has some interesting questions here. He has, what, 5?
Yeah.
Question number 1 from Corbin on Twitter at CorbinGW14.
What are you majoring in, Ethan? Daniel, what's your favorite subject in school?
What are you majoring in, Ethan?
Natural resource and environmental conservation with a concentration on natural resource technology.
Ethan's a hippie.
Yes.
A hippie with a computer. A hippie with a what?
Computer, because natural resource technology, it involves some mapping softwares, whatever. There's a computer question coming up.
Do you use mapping software? Do you like mapping software?
GIS. Esri's kind of fun to mess with.
I don't know what that is.
What's your favorite subject in school?
I don't necessarily have one because I don't really like any of the subjects, to tell you the truth, but if I would just have to...
Are you going
to
be that kid that says, like, lunch or...
No.
Like, PE?
No, I don't take PE. Anyways, I'll say history. I like history.
Okay.
Next, I like this question, Ethan, and I hope I like the answer. Ethan, are you a Mac or PC? Daniel, we know what you are.
I use a Mac currently.
That you do.
I have an iPhone.
That's what you do.
But I also use a PC. On my Mac.
You have Parallels or Bootcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Why?
Just there's certain software that Mac isn't compatible with. A lot of architecture, a lot of engineering.
It's a bunch of environmental stuff.
Yeah.
Is it natural resources? Renewable resources?
Do you guys play Clash
Dickie
of Clans?
Nut.
I used to play Clash of Clans. Currently, not anymore because
you skipped the question. If you had to pick any other team in the SEC to pull for if State didn't exist, who'd it be, Ethan?
I mean, my sister went to Bama.
That she did, apparently.
But I'm looking at grad school, possibly at Florida. So I'd. One of those schools, I guess.
Okay. If Mississippi State didn't exist, I wouldn't exist.
Wait. Oh, you wouldn't exist. Okay.
So that's my answer.
I've already answered the Clash of Clans.
I do not play Clash of Clans.
I'm done.
He wasn't done.
Okay. Well, he decided he wasn't done after.
Yeah, the question's not for me, so okay.
Yeah. Do you want to ask it since it's not for you?
Ethan, why did you decide to come to State?
I got some scholarship money, is really the short
answer.
I'm not going to go into exact money figures, but essentially, I think it was like 70, somewhere between like 70-80% of college costs across the board were covered by the university. And that's... a paycheck I couldn't turn down, more or less.
There we go.
And there some cool opportunities have come out of that, and some cool volunteering stuff, but the short answer is scholarships.
Hey, Ethan.
Yeah?
I'm going to Twitter DM you something.
Okay.
And I want you to see the reaction. I want the reaction to be on the show.
On camera?
On camera, no. We're not filming.
Just hurry up and send it.
Okay. It goes along with something we've been repeating throughout the show today.
Oh, no. Oh,
gosh.
I just saw this retweeted. I'm really confused and scared.
Who retweeted this? No!
Do you know who Andy Richter is?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's the sidekick for Conan O'Brien. He retweeted
it. Yeah. Oh. Is that a Donald Trump head on the left? And then
I believe so. And then.
Yeah.
And then yeah. should I say the name?
No.
All right. So we're introducing a new segment on the show today. Other than Dicky Nut,
For
whom the podcast tolls, very quality. We've got a new segment that for at least today will be replacing the Final Thoughts Quiet. It's called Story Time with Ethan. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ethan's got a story, so yeah.
You were curious about this because, you know, it's in my bio now that I spilled water on a millionaire's desk in high school. So basically, and this goes back to, I put this up because of the news stadium or the news park that's being built, and they're a millionaire from Houston. And it wasn't this family that I don't believe that I spilled the water on, but basically, when I was being not necessarily recruited, but they have recruiters for Mississippi State in Houston for, just general students to try to get people to go out, you know, come to Starkville. When I was going through the college decision process, there were these get togethers with the Alumni Association that is based in Houston, that group. And then, the recruiters for the university, and then, you know, prospective students. And they hosted it at this really fancy condo place that is in a very wealthy part of Houston, Texas, and very, very wealthy. Like, these people have a lot of money. This condo was as big as some houses I've seen, if not bigger than most houses. Very wealthy place. And I am very awkward and very clumsy, and more so back in high school. And, you know, they have all these, okay. The condo is very nice. They have this fancy dinner going on that's hosted and being, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know.
I can't think.
I don't know what the word
is. Whatever. A lot of really fancy food all over the place. And then it just gets to the portion where they take the students or high school students away from the parents so the parents can ask general questions to some of the recruiters and such. And then the students can talk to alumni and just, you know, figure out what the university is like and so on and so forth. So I'm in this room with maybe 10 other students and, you know, 10 alumni. And everybody's talking and just, you know, one-on-one conversations and such. And I'm talking to this alumni and we're talking about the baseball team and so on and so forth. And I decided to place a full cup of water on this just desk. It's just a desk. And I'm not going to spill this water. I don't look at what's on the desk. I don't look at the quality of the desk. It's just a desk. So I put my cup down and, you know, I start talking with the guy and he motions with his hand, so, and I like to talk with my hands, so I start talking with my hands more and more, and the motions get a little bit wider. And awkwardly, I'm thinking, oh, just don't knock over the water. Just don't knock over the water. I mean, it's just a desk, but don't knock over the water. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can guess at this point what I did.
You picked up the cup and drank some water out of it?
I did. And then as I go to put the cup down, it spills across this desk,
which
this desk is like 8 feet wide and 6 feet long or something like that. It's a very
Was it made? Was it made out of mahogany?
It was. Yes.
Oh.
This desk cost more than I currently am worth. This desk is worth more than my life. Like, this is a very fancy desk, and it has engravings all over it on the side, and, like, it was professionally beautiful. Like, the most beautiful desk I've ever seen. A desk that, like, a president would own or something, or an emperor of a small country in the South Pacific. Like, this is a very, very nice desk. And I spilt water, like, all over it. There were papers on the desk. It was not good.
Did you get kicked out?
No. I don't think the millionaire ever found out. He was a multimillionaire, this old guy who went to state and donates a lot of money to state. Probably doesn't listen to the show.
Hello if you are.
I don't remember his name, but I was able to clean up the mess, throw away the cup, get rid of the evidence. I didn't get on
acting
any
like
of his
this is
papers.
Some murder.
Well, I mean, it was a millionaire's desk.
You didn't murder it.
You don't know that?
So you're saying that the desk, like, melted away at the touch of water?
I hope not.
Yeah, okay.
So that's story time with Ethan for this episode.
Riveting.
Yeah. Underwhelming.
Very.
I told you the story. That's the story.
All right.
That was how many years ago? I was a senior in high school. 3 years ago? 3.5? That was a while back.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right.
A long time ago in a city far, far away.
So, that'll wrap it up for this episode of From the Podcast. For whom the podcast tolls, Dickie Nutt.
Yeah, very quality.
This show is very quality. So, if you're listening, and by the way, Justin obviously doesn't listen. But anyways,
nope.
If you're listening, whoever is listening out there, every single one of you, if you have a Twitter account, stop listening. Go to Twitter. And tweet at either, you could tweet at these three accounts. My account, at dblack97. Ethan's account, at LeeEthanJ. And the podcast account, at mstatecast. Tweet, hashtag, veryquality.
I'm going to tweet out with my account and then the podcast account.
We will see how many people actually listen to this show. This is a test.
That are on Twitter.
Everybody who's on Twitter and who's currently listening to the show, stop listening. Tweet out all three of us. Hashtag very equality. And we'll retweet you. How's that? That's your gift. So anyways, that will wrap it up for this episode of From the Podcast Tills. On Tuesday, we will talk about Mississippi State men's basketball's game against Missouri. We will talk about the women's basketball game against Tennessee and other stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that...
If you have any questions, email them, tweet them in, smoke signals.
Messenger pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So yeah. So Ethan, I will wrap up the show by saying this is very quality and Dickie Nutt.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's as good
as... Thanks for listening, everybody.
Adios.